Sleepers Podcast, Thursday, March 14th. Welcome back to the show. Cartel, I see there are new objects behind you.
Are there?
Oh, you didn't notice that?
No, sorry. So, I swear, like, sometimes, like, the wife will just kind of come downstairs and, like, just tidy up down here because I'll be down here, like, recording so many videos and things get lost around me. I kind of black out sometimes. So, I don't know. She might be just trying something new. I'm not really sure what that is. I can't comment.
We can't even see what that is. It looks like a vase, maybe, stacked up on a box.
That's actually a bottle of Azul tequila.
Oh, okay. Very nice. And I see we haven't moved the vacuum or the golf clubs or the other golf bag.
Well, life still sucks. And also, you don't know about this tequila?
No.
Oh, this is good stuff. Also, the top of it rings like a bell. Ready?
Okay, we aren't hearing anything while you hit the top of that bottle with your hands. Yep, we aren't hearing anything, Cart. Yeah, I don't know what your microphone situation is, but we can't hear anything. So thank you for that demonstration to start the show. This is huge March energy. You've got to love it. You're also in a very nice USC football jersey.
Yeah, because my Trojans got a big one today against the Huskies and on their road to stealing a bid in the Pac-12 tournament. Shout out to my good friends, Alex and Quinn. They let me have this jersey. I feel like it might actually be like technically like some memorabilia, like maybe the last USC jersey with a Pac-12 patch on it.
When you say they let you have this jersey, what do you mean by that? Because Alex and Quinn are not your size, and it looks like that jersey fits you.
I think it was maybe like a family member's or a brother's or something like that. It's a large, so maybe it's too big for them, so they gave it to me.
You look good in a large.
Thank you.
Slim cat.
Don't sleep.
Impressive. Okay, all right. Do you have a YouTube comment to start us off today?
I would if I could. When I went to go reach for that bottle, I completely lost my phone. I'm sorry. I'm going to regroup. Here we go. Got my phone.
Okay.
YouTube comment of the Dizzy. Shout out to the YouTube channel, by the way. We have just eclipsed 9K subscribers.
Hey, round of applause for us.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate all the love, the views, and everything's going crazy. A lot coming in March. Make sure you are there.
Oh, on the note of views and our channel performance, can I beg the people for a second?
Please.
So, as you know by now, if you're a listener to the show, we are taking on a crazy initiative to do game recaps and previews for every single game of the five biggest power conference tournaments this week. It's Wednesday when we're recording this. It's Thursday that you're hearing this. So by the time you're hearing this, we're like right in the thick of it. All the best teams are going to finally be in action. There's like 8 videos to do, 4 recaps and 4 previews per day for each of these 5 conferences. We have a lot of people helping us. We don't have a lot of producers helping us. That would be Jacob Karabatsos and myself behind the scenes. Jacob was in hell last night. It's like, I was on the phone with him at 3:30 in the morning, and my man's just in hell going through it trying to get these videos up. With that said, if you are someone who enjoys Sleepers content, if you've watched our previews and recaps this season, you could actually help us tremendously right now because our Big Ten videos normally do pretty well. We have a good following there. As we've branched out to other teams throughout the season, we've built followings with some of the largest brands. We haven't built much of a following with a lot of these smaller schools, and the algorithm supports and promotes videos on YouTube that have comments and likes on them. So our videos will literally start to get picked up and put at the top of people's recommended videos in the search feed. Like, hey, you might like this if there are a lot of comment traction and like traction on each of these videos. It sounds dumb. It sounds small. And it is begging. It not even sounds like it, literally is me begging you. But if you want to support us and this channel and this project this week, literally just go through, click into the videos, leave a comment, leave a like. It could take you 5 minutes to do like 10 of them. And if we started getting a lot of people doing that, I can promise you the views would go through the roof, which by default would make us a little money, would help all the people that are working on these projects get some more exposure, and ultimately will lead to bigger and better things for Sleepers Media. Go help us do that if you enjoy the show. And if you don't enjoy the show, don't do it. That's totally fine. Stick your middle finger up at me. I'm okay with that. But I think some people like this show, and you could do that, and it would mean the world.
Yeah, what Greg said. And if you don't enjoy this show, kiss my ass, too, by the way. We work too hard for you not to enjoy it. I don't care.
Can we get, one of the comments from yesterday was like, wow, you guys post a lot of videos. Hope that works out for you. Hope you think it's worth it. I want to just acknowledge, hope you think it's worth it is an all-time insult. All-timer.
Yeah, I'm upset that we didn't. Like, we didn't initiate that, and now that's always against us. Whoever commented that, he won for life, honestly. Yeah. We can't come back from that.
I don't know if it's worth it. I laid in bed last night at 4 in the morning being like, damn, I do hope this is worth it. It doesn't feel like it's worth it right now.
Oh, good God. All right, this one comes from N. Cremens. He said, what about the internet, Greg? I think this is in comment. This is in reaction to your net talk. Sleepers wouldn't even exist without the net, which is very, very true.
Like the internet?
Yeah, the internet is a net.
See, now we're just stretching the definitions of net to fit. Like the internet is the interweb. It's the World Wide Web. That's a web. That's not a net. If we're going...
Webs are nets and nets are webs.
Webs are not nets. And yes, nets are not webs.
You ever seen a spider web?
That's not a net. That's a web.
It literally is a net. The spider webs use the net.
No. It would be a web. It's a web. That's a web.
The web is a net.
The web is not a net. It's a web. Okay. A net is a net.
I'm not going to be here to explain basic animal functions to you. That's unacceptable.
Animal functions? What does that have to do with being an animal? It's a web or a net.
A spider makes a web.
A web, not a net.
That is used as a net to catch.
So it's used in function as a net, but a web is actually cool and provides positive impact to society.
It's a net.
It's a web that you are trying to say serves the same function as a net, but it's not a net because it's infinitely cooler than a net.
I'll let you die on this hill.
I will die on this hill, and I'm not going to die either. I'm going to be here for 90 years watching all of y'all die, and maybe I'll bury you in some nets. We'll see how that goes. All right, to the show. Comments. Woo! Let's do some welcomes first. We have quite a few new people that joined again yesterday. I love that every single day it seems like we get like two or three people that are joining the show. Let's start with JDog4667. Welcome, JDog. Scrolling down further, we got Rowlett, Texas Boiler, I believe, TX Boiler. Welcome, Rowlett, already making a big impact, talking Purdue with us. And I think that's it for today, unless I missed one. Someone named Chonk Chungus also appeared, but I don't think joined the Discord yet, but I would love to meet Chonk Chungus at a certain point. Okay, join the Discord. Link is in the description. 16 people away from Carter Elliott getting a Sleepers tattoo. Everybody would love to see that. Needs to happen before the end of the NCAA tournament. And, okay, we start today with UK. The other day, my girlfriend wouldn't respond to my text for hours at a time. I started to get suspicious. After the Kentucky game, I went over there, walking to the house, getting to her room. I opened the door. My suspicions were confirmed. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. She was watching AJ Hogard highlights alone. I ran out of the house, haven't responded to her since. Is this grounds for breaking up? We've dated for 4 years.
Yes.
Yeah,
straight up. Yes.
Your significant other gives any amount of her time to AJ Hogard, and you're out.
Yeah, because that means that she typed it in too, and or did her voice to remote, like voice to text remote, and literally said AJ Hogard highlights.
Didn't just stumble into that. Yeah.
No, that's no just suggested video. You wanted that.
Does it go reverse too? Like if you're the guy in the relationship and the girl is doing that, it's breakup time. If you're the girl and your boyfriend is watching AJ Hogard highlights, is that grounds for a breakup?
No, I'm trying to think of like what would be the equivalent like to that, like on the women's side.
Hmm.
Who's an actress that Mal hates?
Actually, finally, she doesn't like Emma Stone. She told me that after watching the Oscars.
Okay, like she comes home and you're watching Emma Stone's greatest hits.
I actually was doing that the other day.
Are you guys good?
There's been friction, I'm not going to lie, the last couple of days. I don't know if it's about that or not, but you know, we'll see. Purdue Pete 04 says, Robbie Hummel just got added to the CBS Turner March Madness lineup. He's in his seventh season. That's a quick ascent, but he's generally regarded as a top-notch color guy. Do you think we'll see John Fanta there soon? How soon? I think he's the next rising star. Maybe that's in a Rothstein role to start. Anyone else you think is the next wave of March Madness talent as some of the crew starts to age out?
One, I hope that Fanta does not fall into the John Rothstein mold. Dude's way too talented, way too much personality to be in that role. I don't know. There's a couple guys. Riley had some good shouts yesterday for some kind of younger up-and-coming guys that could be, like, on the ACC. Like, Dalen Cuff was a name that he mentioned. I definitely think that there's a younger contingent, like, more up-and-coming that'll be good. Fanta's one of them. I think RC, Randolph Childress, should be on a lot more things. Starting with the ACC, he should be on a lot more things instead of some other people who I won't call out by name. So those are some names that come to mind quickly here.
Yeah.
Shit, us.
Couple that I have no relationship with, I think Dalen Cuff and Jordan Kennett are very, very good. Cornette, sorry, not Kennett. Robbie Hummel to me is the best in the sport. It's great to see he's going to be doing NCAA tournament games. It's awesome. We have gotten to work a little bit with John Fanta, with Terrence Oglesby, with Randolph Childress. I think all three of them are stellar, and it's been cool to watch all three of them get more and more opportunities. It is only a matter of time before we hear those guys doing like Sweet 16 games at a certain point. But yeah, in response to this comment, I would just like to say bet notepad emoji. I've been slighted that you're naming superstars that are significantly better than me, but I'm slighted. Bet. Notepad emoji. Rowlett, Texas Boiler, says, in light of the upcoming March Madness coverage, who's your favorite TNT guy? Sir Charles, Kenny, Ernie Johnson, or Clark Kellogg? For me, Charles is just a hoot to watch.
I enjoy Chuck. I see a little bit of Chuck in myself. Both game wise and humor wise. So,
and, I mean, physically.
Yeah, physically as well. So, Sure.
And the golf course.
Yeah. Chuck's actually pretty good, even though his swing's ugly.
Yeah. When he played DJ Khaled, he was in the bunker for six consecutive shots.
I can't even get to the bunker.
To me, that's the best show out there in sports coverage. Like the TNT crew, any night they're doing it is the best. I think it's must watch television. So I don't have someone in there that I don't think is awesome, like 10 out of 10 at their job. Chuck is probably the most entertaining to me. I think Kenny's also very good. Like I think Kenny blurs the lines of like insight and personality and just entertainment better than anybody else on the show to me. Like you can actually
also think in regards to college basketball, Kenny's one of the few ones that actually watch it. Like I know for a fact Chuck ain't watching no college hoop.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is again part of why I love the show. It's more entertainment than it is anything else, but Kenny blurs the line and does both. Coleman's Burner says, I don't know if you guys already recorded the pod, but for the Michigan-Penn State game, Penn State should bring back Kanye Cleary, have him go one-on-one against Doug in a spelling bee. Whoever wins their team advances. Who do you think would win a spelling bee between Doug McDaniel and Kanye Cleary?
I think Doug would, because Doug stuck it out and grinded out his academics to get back to the institution. Kanye Cleary said, I'm good. I'm good on school. I'm just going to leave. Doug didn't run from the school grind. Shout out to Doug, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to show up to the spelling bee in order to win the spelling bee. I think Doug has a better chance of showing up than Kanye Cleary. Big Game Fletch, college basketball is the best sport in the world. Love the work you two have done to grow your brand and bringing new people on board has been spectacular. So shout out to all the guys doing game previews with you guys. Let's keep this train rolling. Yeah, thank you, Big Game Fletch. Appreciate that. That means the world. And yeah, can we just go name by name real quick of the people helping us? Because I want to give them all a little love. Brian Ralph, to me, is a superstar. His Ralph Report has always been like one of the most resourceful, entertaining pieces of writing that he does on a daily basis. But to me, like the man should be on video a lot more. And I'm glad he's been able to do that on our platform. I think he's just incredible. Riley Davis, we obviously have great chemistry with. I enjoyed your ACC correspondent dynamic with him. I think like he feels like one of us, which I don't mean as praise, or some people might take that as disrespect, but I've never met someone in media who like is more natural of an addition to us, and he's put a lot of work in. I appreciate that. Lucas Harkins is, in my mind and for my money, the best bracketologist in college basketball. There's the data to back it up. You can go watch it. He's done bracketology for Heat Check for years now, but again, I can't speak high enough of what he's done on video since he's helped with us. Like, He was hosting a couple a few weeks back in the middle of the season, and he shot me a text after and was like, "Hey, can you just watch this and tell me if it's okay? Like, I don't know how it is." And I was like, "Dude, you crushed this. Like, hosting is not as easy as it looks." And he makes it look incredibly easy for someone who was a little unsure of it. So, and then our two newest additions here, Christian Ojakjian at ODJ Hoops, literally a 5-star recruit. I had to go out and kind of hunt him down in the DMs and be like, "Hey, I've always watched your stuff and I think you'd be great on this." This man, more than any, not to say the others aren't, but more than anybody I've met, I can feel his passion for college basketball through every piece of content that he puts. Like, it reminds me of just the way I have approached this like 3 years ago, where I was still working a desk job and all I wanted to do was make daily picks videos without a sponsor, without anybody watching it. He has built something from nothing, and he's great. Like, our chemistry has been awesome. And then the last one is Subi from Theater and College Hoops. Of all shows that we've been invited on, I think he has done the best job in 3 years. And not to toot our own horns, but we've kind of gone around the horn and been on a lot of different shows. The ones that we go back on are the ones we really like, and he's not helping with these videos, but Locked On, Spartans, Matt Sheehan is another one. Subi is just perfect. His Theater and College Hoop show is unique. He's one of the best, and I texted Brian Ralph too and was just like, "Hey, how'd it go with Subi?" He was like, "Dude, he's a superstar." So I feel really lucky that we get to work with these people, and hopefully they're getting something out of this, and I appreciate Big Game Fletch calling it out as well. Do you want to say any nice words or mean words about any of those people?
I appreciate those guys. I just hope they don't get too comfortable.
Purdue Boiler 83 says, "Greg, can you please change your national championship pick? I'll send you a large shipment of milk and fresh bananas if you change it." Joke's on you. We just placed a shipped order last night. We have milk and fresh bananas. Purdue is my national championship pick. That will change if they lose a game in the Big Ten tournament to, like, Minnesota, which honestly is possible because y'all have barely covered the spread, like, once in the last month. LLY Rex says, "Who's more likely to win a natty, a great coach with 3 and 4 stars or a decent coach with 5 stars?
Decent coach with 5 stars, even though that's such a tough question because with the star ranking system, how it is, I think, not to go off on a tangent, but I didn't truly realize until I really got into like deep into the college basketball space, how like the star ranking things go, how much like politics and like projecting a player is involved in that. I didn't really truly realize that until the last couple years when we started doing this. So, but at the end of the day, like, I'm always going to take talent. That's going to be my MO. If I go to an early grade, put on my tombstone that this kid always chose talent.
All right, I have some bad news.
Yeah, what's up?
Kyle Filipowski has a Great Clips sponsorship. Breaking news, live on the show.
Stop it. Where?
Riley Davis just quote tweeted it, but we have a video of Kyle Filipowski. The real dub this March Madness is a fresh haircut at Great Clips. Enter to win a chance to go to the Final Four.
Maybe the Duke national champion pick cursed by you is correct, man.
The curse?
You pick Duke, they lose, and now Flip has a Great Clips sponsorship?
So my curse is real. That's what we're learning here. Yeah.
It wasn't before, but the Great Clips thing is just too obvious to ignore.
I can't believe I picked a team whose best player is a Great Clips sponsoree to win a national championship, and I defended that for 2 months.
I am disgusted that we saw this. We didn't see this before we placed our picks for the tournament champion.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your quote tweet on that in like 20 minutes. It's going to be great. My answer to Lyrex is a great coach with 3 and 4 stars. Especially in this era, you can win with 23-year-old dudes more than you can win with talented 18-year-old dudes. So give me someone who knows what they're doing on the sidelines. I think that has boded itself true repeatedly on who has actually made deep runs in these tournaments. Rowlett Boiler says, "Since I know Card at least didn't like the co-coach of the year, What do you think about two awards, Coach of the Year and Most Improved Coach of the Year? Because that is why you got Coe this year and why Collins won last year. I just don't agree that the current award is supposed to be for the coach that overachieved. I always thought it was best coach.
Y'all coach won, man. Like, he was part of it. Like, this, like, Paint got snubbed because he didn't get it by himself and Hoiberg's record on the road and all, like, it was Co Big Ten Coach of the Year, and your coach was part of the Co. Like, get over it.
In Purdue fans' defense, I don't think many are complaining that they were Co. I don't. I think this is a thing because I am outright saying Painter didn't deserve Co. And they are responding to me being like, yes, he did. It was what it was. I strongly disagree. I get that the Wikipedia entry says that it is supposed to go to the best coach. Best coach does not mean by default the coach of the best team. And there's 25 plus years of data of the results of this award to back that up. In fact, Matt Painter's won this award 5 times. Go back and look. How many times of the 5 that he won this award was Matt Painter the coach of the best team? Not often. We had teams win 85% of their games, Thad Matta and Bo Ryan being 2 of them, in years that they won championships Purdue didn't win, and Matt Painter was the coach of the year and not those guys. Because it's about elevating a roster beyond what it should be, not just winning with what your roster was. I get the complaint that Painter deserved Coach of the Year last year. There's a better argument for that. I would have voted Matt Painter over Chris Collins for Coach of the Year last year because Purdue wasn't supposed to be what we now know that they are last year, and Painter had elevated that. Coming into this year, you had the preseason and reigning National Player of the Year. Nobody was doubting what this Purdue team was. You delivered. That's fine. That's why you got banners. The reward for being a great team is the ring you get on your finger and the banner you get in the rafters. The reward for being great players on a great team is the player accolades that every single Purdue player got that they already deserve, including sixth man of the year, including 2 first team All Big Ten players. Okay? The reward for Coach of the Year goes to the guy who did more than he was supposed to. Purdue didn't do anything this year they weren't supposed to. That's why the award goes to the coach that beat the guy with the better team head-to-head and did a massive thing he wasn't supposed to. The fact that Nebraska's 3rd in this league, playing better than Purdue, by the way, do my February 1st numbers, Nebraska's ahead of Purdue. Nebraska is playing at a Purdue level for the last month and a half. That's insane, given the roster and who they are. That's a huge credit to Fred Hoiberg. And, yeah, to summarize all of my thoughts on all this is the last time I'm going to say it for the Coach of the Year conversation. Purdue fans need to accept that you're not overachieving, you're achieving. That is what comes from being the program you are now. It's a good thing. But there's something emotionally and mentally in the heartstrings for these fans that just wants to be considered the team that nobody believed in. Because that's Painter won with guys that nobody had in the rankings for years and years and years. Guess what? Those days are over. Y'all are the big dogs on campus. You're about to be a 1 seed for the 2nd consecutive year. You're about to win your 4th consecutive Big Ten banner this week when you win the Big Ten tournament. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You don't get awards for just doing what you're supposed to do. You get banners. That's achievement. It's not overachievement. Accept it and stop trying to paint it like Zach Edey's still a 3-star because he was out of high school. Okay? It's not that anymore. God. Travis Nelson.
Stop trying to paint it.
and Rowlett, by the way, that's not animosity directed at you. I appreciate the question and the comments are good. I'm just like, I feel like I'm just speaking in circles and I just get spit out. Well, yeah, but we won the Big Ten by 3 games. That's not the award. That's not what we're honoring right here. That's why you have banners and rings. Travis Nelson says, can the Big Ten start a Walter Payton Man of the Year award like the NFL? Along with co-coach of the year honors, Matt Painter deserves the inaugural award for his brave stance on court storming.
That's funny. What would the award be called if it's the Walter Payton? Like, I feel like, yeah, it'd be like the Tum Tum Nairn.
No, it'd be the Gene Cady Man of the Year Award, just like we had the Gene Cady Sleepy Award. Like, just everything must be named after a Purdue figure.
Got it. Okay. The Gene Katie Man of the Year.
Did you know that Purdue's lead assistant won assistant coach of the year this year?
Coach Brantley, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great coach. I mean, phenomenal coach. Do you know that Mac Arena won arena of the year this year?
Did it?
Yeah. I mean, great arena, great crowd.
Well,
Did you know?
I did see that they got the Decibel Award this year too, as well.
Yeah. Did you know that chicken giveaway at Purdue won chicken giveaway of the year?
Did they win it outright or was it Co?
Illinois fans were devastated. It wasn't Coe. It was crazy. Final comment today. Travis Nelson says Carter would be the third grade coach to press when it's banned and curse out the stripes. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
on brand.
yeah, that's very on brand.
Yeah. What press would you run? You got a favorite type of press?
I'm more of like a 2-2-1 guy. But yeah, you know, that's only because that's what I like to play in the press. I like to be like the guy who's all the way back, free safety type.
I'm a
What's
big
your favorite?
fan. I'm a big fan of defenses with no principles.
I do kind of honestly, my favorite press is just straight up run and jump and use your instincts.
Yeah, get in their shit. Yeah, that was my. I mean, I was like offensive coordinator role when I coached high school varsity, and yeah, I mean, obviously, I shouldn't be anywhere near the defense. That's not my strong suit. Strategically, don't want it, but I did often try to convince our head coach that we needed to implement some half-court pressure defenses where the entire goal was to do things the offense would never expect you to do. Like, I want to bring, like, the weak side wing over, trapping the wrong side of the court just to confuse people. He never bought into it. We also never won a district championship. So that's lingered. Okay. Great job, Discord. Great job with the comments. We appreciate it. Let's get to our three topics today. Well, why don't we start with let's ease into where we're going in this episode. The first topic today is Kenny Payne, who is likely out. Although I don't get why he hasn't just been formally fired yet. Isn't it kind of ominous and weird?
Yeah. So I there's a couple of different stories coming out about it, but the one that I saw the most is that like the AD basically let him go, but wanted to like let him know in person, I guess. And they basically got on the plane back to go back to Louisville, basically. And they didn't actually get a chance to meet in person. I don't know if this is completely true or not, but as of today, the plane has landed. So I'm assuming that Kenny Payne has been relieved of his duties officially after speaking with him in person. And now starts the next step of the process, which is, you know, who is going to be the next coach of the Louisville Cardinals. And on that topic, there's a couple, you know, I wouldn't say rumors, but storylines surrounding this. And this is what I've heard on the scenario. Shout out to Jeff Borzello, my guy over at ESPN. The first option is you do everything in your power to get Scott Drew out of Waco. The rumors about that is that that seems very unlikely. The next option would be Mick Cronin. And then as you're doing the thing with Mick Cronin, you're also monitoring what Dusty May is going to do, because Dusty May is rumored to be very in contention for the Ohio State job. And then after that, apparently there's no plan. So they got option A, B, C, and then they get to D. I guess they're screwed, or they got to start over. Obviously, if they get Scott Drew out of Waco, which I highly doubt they will, Louisville just had to hire the century. That's amazing. Louisville will be back immediately, in my opinion. Outside of that, where are you kind of at with the Gio in these coaching options?
Well, first off, I just want to say it's hilarious that plan D is no plan. That sounds like something you and I would do, like when we're just scripting out, like, oh, this is what we're doing this week. Plan D, no plan. We're screwed. The only thing for me is, of the candidates you just listed, I only think one of them is a guarantee that he would leave for the job. I think Dusty May might take a different job before Louisville. And even if, like, if he had Louisville on the table versus other jobs, I'm not positive he would take Louisville. And look, he's not going to get Indiana, but if it was Indiana versus Louisville, he'd be at Indiana. Ohio State versus Louisville is interesting because Ohio State's trying to fill the opening quicker, it seems. But I don't know. I'm not positive Dusty May would choose Louisville over Ohio State for some reason. Scott Drew, same thing. It's like, okay, I guess if he leaves, it's Louisville and it's not anything else, but we don't know that he's going to leave. Mick Cronin would be on a flight right now. If we called Mick Cronin 2 hours before their first Pac-12 tournament game he would be like, yep, I'll be at the airport. I'm there. So I think that's where this ends. Like, that's my read on this, is that's where this ends. But I don't think, if I was a Louisville fan, that's where I would want it to end. I don't think. I think Mick Cronin is the worst coach of the three we just named.
Even Dusty May?
I do have my questions on Dusty, but I think, like, I think the downside of Mick Cronin is both ugly basketball and also ugly personality. And haven't we kind of seen that at Louisville the last couple years? Like, if it doesn't work, you want someone who's going to, like, own that it doesn't work and look the camera in the eyes and be like, here's my plan to fix it. Mick Cronin's going to throw his players under the bus, say he did nothing wrong. Like, you're rebuilding from nothing here. Let's not, like, you're not inheriting Johnny Juzang and Jaime Jaquez here. Like, you're inheriting Sky Clark, and we love Sky Clark, but I don't know that that's going to be like superstardom in year one. And I don't know. I almost trust Dusty May to start from scratch more than I trust Mick Cronin.
Okay. Question for you here. You're ranking, like, kind of coaching abilities that you want in this position. And when I say that, it is like, the categories are like coaches, X's and O's, coaches that recruit their ass off, both high school and, you know, portal. And then I guess the third part would be, I don't even know what it would be, but, like, I guess what I'm asking here is, what style of coach would you want for Louisville? Because in my opinion, I still think Louisville is a very strong basketball brand, even though Kenny Payne has destroyed it over the past 2 years. I think it is, to use a great sleeper term, a sleeping giant. I think you'll have, if it's the right coach, you will have funding, you will have backing. They have good facilities. Like, they have things going for them. They just need some. They need someone that's competent. And sorry to say that about Kenny Payne, but let's call a spade a spade. Yeah. He did not do a competent job as a coach of Louisville. So, like, in my opinion, I don't know if you can go for a guy like Dusty May, to be, in my opinion. I think Dusty May might be a great basketball coach, but I think you need somebody who is going to, like, eat on the recruiting trail, eat in the portal.
Yeah, but here's the counterpoint is, like, Dusty May's been eating on the recruiting trail in his own way. He got really, really good players to Florida Atlantic.
True.
Like, that's if he can get Elijah Martin and John L. Davis and Vlad Goldin not only to come to Florida Atlantic in the first place, but then to stay at Florida Atlantic, all three of those dudes could have gone to Blue Bloods in the summer. And instead, Dusty convinced them to stay. Like, there's something special about this. That, to me, tells me you do have some recruiting chops. You have some personality chops. Like, I want to see what that looks like at a bigger program. Mick Cronin hasn't done that, right? Mick Cronin, at a brand name school like UCLA, yes, he made a Final Four, which, again, by the way, if we're doing Final Four runs and we're talking about validity of them, I'm never going to take credit away from you for a Final Four run. That team was in the play-in game. That team, snap your fingers, wasn't a Final Four team. But we have to admit that Mick Cronin had a Final Four because they got hot at the right time. They had really good players. That's awesome. He had Jaime Jaquez and Johnny Juzang and was in the play-in in the Pac-12. That's a little ominous for your abilities. Now he's driven it off a cliff, right? Now he said, I'm going to get a bunch of international guys. How did that work out? Like, I remember in the offseason, people trying to tell me Ade Mara and Burke Buchtenstiel were going to be stars. Like, those guys can barely play. So I don't know. I think if I'm looking for something I want most here, though, it's not recruiting. It's just I want in-game coachability. I want a guy that I trust knows his shit from an X's and O's perspective, because if you look at the last two for Louisville, again, Kenny Payne is a mess in all directions, but he did bring five-star talents in, whether through the portal or from the high school ranks. They just are all really bad players. Like, his evaluation of what five stars should be in a Louisville uniform or he could get in a Louisville uniform was horrible. Chris Mack, before this, I still believe Chris Mack can coach. I think he's going to end up in the somewhere with a decent job and work his way back up. Chris Mack got a lot of talent to Louisville. Talent wasn't the problem. And even though Chris Mack is a good coach and got talent, there were still issues. I think you just need someone you know can maximize the sum of their parts. To me, there's questions with all three because Dusty hasn't maximized the sum of their parts this year by any means. But to me, it would be Scott Drew alone in tier one, big drop, Dusty May in tier two, Mick Cronin at the bottom of tier two. They're fine candidates, but I don't want them. I wouldn't be excited about Mick if I'm a Louisville fan.
Got you. Okay, I feel the same way. And then to kind of wrap
Also,
up,
why not Jerome Tang? Like, why
well,
not?
that was actually to the point that I wanted to use to wrap up this segment. Since they don't want to give an option D, pause. We're going to give the option D, also pause. Is Jerome Tang, like, what is the option after those three guys?
Let me tell you what I would do if I'm the Louisville AD. Is that, can I play it that way?
And I need all details. Don't leave any out if you're the Louisville AD.
Okay, I'm allowed, how many names am I allowed? Three names?
I'll give you three names.
Okay. Can I get four names?
No, you get three.
Well, they have a plan A through D, and then plan D is no plan, right? I should be allowed four plans.
I'm the president of Louisville. I say you have three options. And if you don't want those three options, you're fired, too, with Kenny Payne.
You got to give me four plans. Plan A, B, C, D, because that's what Louisville has. They have four plans. Let me do my version of four plans.
How come I never get to pull rank when I do things like this?
Well, I'm going off the situation. There's plan A, B, C, and D. Let me give you my A, B, C, and D.
Please.
Plan A is the identical plan A. Call Scott Drew, beg him. See what happens. Scott Drew says no. Okay. Plan B. Call Brad Underwood. Call Brad Underwood. Guy who can navigate the portal. Guy who has nailed recruiting. Guy who has dominated his conference, top two finishes year in, year out for 5 years. The only big caveat is he hasn't won in March. That might change this year. I always think Brad Underwood's ears are open to big jobs. I think Brad Underwood would immediately come to Louisville. My plan B would be Brad Underwood. Plan C, Jerome Tang. If I don't get Underwood, I want Tang. I think they're similar caliber coaches, similar structure here. Crush the portal, recruit talent, guys who I think one out. I think they're reasonable yeses. Plan D is not no plan. Plan D, fundraise my ass off and get Rick Pitino back.
Wow. Bringing Pitino back.
Rick Pitino back. I mean, Rick Pitino's doing press tour right now saying his biggest regret is leaving and never coaching Kentucky all the way through. Okay. So that means you're not happy at St. John's. So that means you would love to get back to a blue blood. We'll welcome you back home, Ricky P. Like, that's still a bad man. That's still one of the five baddest men in the coach or in the sport. And I think he has an appetite for coaching the way the other legends in the sport, other than Tom Izzo, don't have right now.
I like your options way better than the actual options that are reported.
Yeah, I'm not. Mick Cronin and Dusty May don't get a call from me if I'm the Louisville AD.
I'm with you on the Cron. I don't know about the Dusty May.
Let's see what he does at Ohio State first.
Okay, last question on this for you. Who's more successful if it plays out like that, Dusty May at Ohio State, or let's go with the other option, Mick Cronin at Louisville?
Dusty May at Ohio State is more successful.
You think, like, pretty easily?
Not easily. I think Dusty will do Holtman first 3-4 years regular seasons, like 24-8, 23-9, good, not great, no major champions, no huge runs, just a good coach that brings talent in, and there you go. I think Mick is much more boom or bust. Like, I think he might have a great season here and there, and then I think he will have losing seasons at Louisville if he's there.
Okay, got you.
What do you think? What's your answer to that?
I kind of want you to be the AD of Louisville. That's my main takeaway from this. Wait, the answer to the three options or the answer to who will be better?
Who will be better?
I think I go Dusty at Ohio State.
Okay.
My Buckeyes are a sleeping giant.
Yeah. I like the cards, too. Like, I like when Louisville's good.
Yeah. I think the one pushback I'll give to you is that I actually think that the Louisville roster is not as bad. I think there's actually some good players like on this roster. I just think that Kenny Payne is that bad of a coach.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe, but I'll believe it when I see it. I'll say that. We'll see. Like, it's not like Mick is bringing people with him to Louisville that would really, like, is he bringing I guess he could bring the freshman guard, Mac.
Yeah, but that's another thing that I would put in the stipulation. I'm not hiring a coach that I don't even want. Like, if I'm hiring Dusty, like, do I want those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want those guys, of course. But like I also, like you said, like I want guys that are going for top tier options, like option A killers. Like I know that John L. Davis would be that guy. And, you know, if other guys have eligibility, like Elijah Martin, I'm not sure. Like, of course, those would be first options. But like I need my coach calling all the big names.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is that's where Underwood and Tang come in for me. It's like they would immediately nail those guys. Okay. All right. Fun exercise. Good luck, Louisville. That'll be interesting to see who they hire. Should we end with like who will be the hire? Who do you think?
To be honest, I think it'll end up being Cronin because I think Cronin's going to say yes if he's offered it, like you said.
I think it's Cronin too. If Cronin's actually plan B, I think it's an immediate yes. I think Louisville's the job he's waiting for right now.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Okay. All right. Topic number two today, I want to do a quick game of which team that has punched their ticket do you think is most dangerous? So we've had the minor conference tournaments wrapping up. We are recording this Wednesday, so any of the results from Wednesday night haven't happened yet. So if we avoid your favorite team, that's why. But I want you to give me – you can give me a couple if you want, but land on the one team that you think could be like the super Cinderella from this year that has already punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament.
So the options here are – do you have all the options? I got some in my head.
I have a couple in my head. I do not have all the options in front of me by any means. No, okay. I'll just scroll through the ESPN app though and find finals. Charleston won the CAA. Oakland won the Horizon League. Wagner won the Northeast Conference. South Dakota State won the Summit League. James Madison won the Sun Belt. Obviously, a good team. Samford won the SoCon. That's everything since Monday. Longwood won the Big South. Stetson won the A-Sun. Drake won the MVC. Tucker DeVries and the boys. That might be it, except for like some of the minor ones going back to last Saturday. I think that's where we're at as far as clinched bids right now.
Got you. All right. So there's a couple options that come to my mind right away. I'm going to get the two, like, I'm going to give you two options that are kind of like the easy ones, like the easy cop-out ones, and then two who I just like for other reasons. Obviously James Madison is a team that a lot of people like. They shoot the ball extremely well. They have a lot of talent on the team. I think they play in the Sun Belt's a pretty good conference as well. So that's the obvious one. They're pretty up there in a lot of the metrics and rankings and things like that. Another one I would actually put in that same category is Samford. I think that Samford is a team that plays a very fun style of basketball, and also I like picking teams that they're not going to be scared of the moment. And Samford started their season, I believe, by going into Mackey. Now, they got their doors blown off, but like they played in an environment at Mackey against Purdue that means something to me. They had that experience. Outside of that, obviously, Drake, Tucker DeVries is a monster. They have a lot of older guys on that team, too. I feel like Darnell Brody has been at Drake since I started watching college basketball. A really good team. And then my super long shot would be Stetson. And the only reason I'm picking Stetson is because they have James Blackman's younger brother, Jalen Blackman, and he's an absolute killer. I think he went for like 44 in the A-Sun championship game. He's a absolute monster. And I know no matter what, he's going to score enough points to challenge somebody. Will that lead to a win? I don't know. But like, give me the guy who in the championship game with a ticket on the with the NCAA ticket on the line, put up a 44 ball.
Yeah. Okay. I like both of those options. Well, I guess you gave me more than two options. I pretty much agree with everything you're saying. I'll throw just some context on top of this from a stat that I love, which shout out to Evan Miyakawa, Discord member of Sleepers Discord, by the way, Evan Miyakawa. EvanMia.com is my go-to place, and that this isn't an ad read. This is me being honest. He has so much cool stuff he's doing analytically to help advance the way we interpret basketball. He broke through with this opponent-adjusted metric this year that shows how good a team is against good competition or how bad they are. And it, like, you can just sort and see what teams play up or play down to competition. There are a couple teams from this list that we just talked about that rank very, very highly, like top 20, top 25 nationally in opponent-adjusted quality, meaning they are better against the best teams they play. The first one is Drake. Drake is like really, really, really great against good teams. And I do think like one of the things that matters to me is, do you have a dude in March that can just go takeover mode? I think Tucker DeVries is that. I like it. I could see it with them. The other one that's on the list is Stetson. And you mentioned Stetson as one of yours, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I was shocked to hear you mention the Hatters as one of your teams, but
well, it's only because of one player.
Right. But you give me one player and you tell me they're good against good competition. Okay. Suddenly I buy that a little bit. The only thing with Stetson for me is that their defense is so, so, so bad. They have the 331st ranked defense per Evan Mia. That ain't going to cut it in March. Like, oh yeah, you don't care. Perfect cartel style team.
I am ahead.
I also just want to add, while we're talking Evan's metrics here, two teams that you could circle that are good against great teams, Florida and Northwestern, not mid-major level, but the boo-boo, we don't count them out against the best teams. If he catches a one seed, Butarius Lamar Boyd Jr. My two answers are not the two I just ran through from opponent adjusted, though. I think the best team out of all of these teams is James Madison. And I know Spiro's given me a lot of shit because at the beginning of the year, I was saying James Madison isn't that much better than the teams that were beating Michigan. And they are. James Madison is really, really good. That offense is legit. They have backed up all of the hype they got on the very first night of the season when they beat Michigan State. And I think they're going to be on like the 12 line, just a classic 12-5 scenario. They're going to be hungry. No five seed's going to want to see James Madison. And I don't like the five seeds much this year either. So it's like, imagine, well, I don't have bracket matrix in front of me right now, but some of those like imagine like a Clemson against James Madison. Couldn't pick it quick enough. Last one for me is one I've tried to talk to you about all season long and you won't take it seriously for whatever reason. It's the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Let me just run through the reasons I believe in this team. We have a bunch of games of sample size of them against high major opponents that they made really competitive, if not won the game. They went to Xavier and won a game. They were on the road at Ohio State, 6-point game. On the road at Illinois, led for much of the early portion of that game, ended up losing by 11. Like, they have been there against talented teams and not been played off the court. I don't envision a world where Oakland is just like down 20 to anyone in this tournament. I think it's going to be a close game no matter who they play. Then you look personnel-wise, they have the superstar. Trey Townsend just had one of the best performances I've ever seen in college basketball in a game. He had 38, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, he willed his team to the win over Milwaukee. He's not going to do that. Like, I just don't think he's that type of player against high major opponents. He did kind of fold in the moment against Michigan State, but like, he's too productive and too important to them. He won't let them get blown out. Like I said, then you look further down the lineup. You got a guy in Jack Golkey who literally only shoots threes. He has 8 2-point attempts on the season, 328 3-point attempts. He is a guy who can just hit 7 threes in a game, and suddenly it's the Jack Golkey game and swung it. Blake Lampman's a Lansing kid that has honestly had some killer in him. Like, call me crazy for this cart. I think he's a super Nutri-Grain version of Aiden Mahaney. Like,
oh, wow.
he got some shit to him. Like, I think he's like a – like, the ball's in his hands late and you feel okay about it on a team that even has Trey Townsend.
I'm crying at Nutri-Grain being the comparison.
Yeah, I think he's Nutri-Grain Aiden Mahaney. And then I'm going down guys that matter on this team. The other guy was Rocket Watts, who, say what you want about him, he's still like a high major talent. Like, there's a world where Rocket Watts played 4 years at Michigan State, is probably a starter on this team right now, or, you know, it goes to another high major, has a good career like he was at Mississippi State. He ends up at Oakland. He hasn't been dominant by any means this year, but he's going to be on the court late. So they have talent. They have a superstar. They have shooters. They have shit to them. They won't get blown out. I think they're on the 14 line right now. Like, they're going to avoid the best teams in the sport. They're going to catch like a 3 seed. If I could get Oakland against like, we speak this into existence, like an Alabama. Could not pick Oakland quick enough against Alabama.
You know what? I'm not mad at that in the slightest, just because I truly think that Trey Townsend could have Grant Nelson in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
Yep. They got to get a team with no dominant big. But if you get a run and gun up and down team that doesn't really guard, I love. Love, love, love Oakland. All right, that was a fun exercise. So, okay, pick one, though. Give me, like, who's your one you would bank on getting at least one win in the tournament?
You know what? Oakland's a good pick because it's the thing is you gotta look at the mat. Like Stetson's probably gonna be a 16 seed. I don't think they're beating any number one seeds. You know what? I'm gonna take the cop out here. I'm gonna pick Drake, who I think is gonna be like a 12 seed, 13 seed. I'm gonna pick that, even though it's the soft way out. But I believe in those dudes.
Yeah, classic soft Carter Elliott. I'm gonna go
All
James
right.
Madison. I'm gonna go James Madison. Also soft.
That's also they're also gonna be a 12.
But you talked to yourself into you. Yeah, I'm just being soft. I'm not
All right,
being
you know what?
soft. I'm...
Hey, you know what? Actually, you know what? I don't care. Give me the Hatters. Give me no defense. Give me Jalen Blackman 50 ball. I don't care.
Yeah, they're going to lose by 37 to Purdue the first round.
That's kidding.
Final topic today. I'm sorry we're doing this, Michigan State fans, because, yeah, we see your comments. There's like 35 people every day that just come back to the videos and say, really, another Michigan State video? But you know what? Your team keeps giving us dramatic reasons to make fun of them, and I can't pass that up. In fact, you had to reply to a comment a couple days ago, Cart, and tell people it's not even me asking for these topics always. It's you asking for these topics. People are unhappy with your approach to this. Do you have any comments?
I mean, not necessarily. I think everybody has a way of looking at this season. I just the funniest ones to me is like, wow, Carter's so doom and gloom. Yeah, the season's been doom and gloom if you've been watching it. Like, what, I really don't know what you want from me. Like, I'm not just going to plant pretty flowers along the banks of red cedar while my life's in hell. Like, what are we doing here? The season has stunk.
The thing is, you can't prevent the doom part. All you can control is the gloom. So what do people want? Doom and cheer? From you? Like, is that what it's supposed to be? No.
I don't
like...
understand. And then like the funniest ones to me, and they do it in response to you, but they're like, oh, talk about it, 8-23. Okay, we both stink in different forms or fashions. It's like Michigan's a pair of underwear that's been left in the dirty hamper for like 9 months, and ours is like something that's been there for like a little over 3 weeks. They both still stink. One's just worse.
I have been trying to tell you, don't give up. I've said that repeatedly. And on the preview of Minnesota, I picked Michigan State. I think they're going to win. The season's not over. So there's no comparison between my shitty 8-23 team and what's going on with Michigan State. There's not. I would kill to be in your spot. With that said, there's a lot to poke fun at that Michigan State's doing that they're you don't need to poke fun at with Michigan, because nobody on Michigan is begging for accolades after a bad season, which is crazy to me. That's what we're going to talk about right here. I was on the Locked On Spartans show with Matt Sheehan the other day, and he actually blew up our rundown right before the show and was like, change of discussion. I'm fed up with these guys. And you can go listen to the full conversation. Again, Sheehan is one of the biggest Spartans out there. He does a fantastic job with his coverage of that team. But nobody's ever going to accuse him of being a bad fan in some form. Like, he is always spot on with his takes. He was upset. He was like just over this group of players who wants praise and wants recognition for things that have nothing to do with success. And it was noticeable. Like, this is in response to the Big Tens, all Big Ten teams coming out, player awards, all of that, right? Michigan State ends up getting Tyson Walker on the second team. He was not on the first team. Marcus Damask was on one of the teams. Jameer Young was on the other. So every coaches and media have Tyson Walker as at best the seventh best player in this league behind those two. And then Malik Hall and A.J. Hogard were both on the honorable mention team. We've said it. We think Malik Hall deserved to be on the third team. I don't think A.J. Hogard deserved to be on the honorable mention team. Wherever you land on either of those guys, not really a crazy result to have them be on the honorable mention. Like, no, nobody should be losing sleep that neither of those guys got third team or that Tyson Walker was on the second team and not the first, given the way this team has played for the last 2 months. So I'll throw it to you. I guess I haven't laid out the part of this that we need to talk about. Everybody on Michigan State just took to their Twitter fingers to express that they're upset with this. Like, we had Trey Holloman, Carson Cooper, Malik Hall, A.J. Hogard, all either on Twitter or Instagram making it known, like, okay, bet. Like, I got slighted. And it's kind of just baffling to watch because, again, this team is tied for eighth in the Big Ten, has 13 losses now going into postseason play. It quite honestly is a little bit lucky to not be closer to the cut line on the bubble. And Tom Izzo was at the podium and literally dropped a quote that said, you know, I think I'm the person who cares the most. Like, nobody cares more than me. Nobody's more upset than me at how our regular season went. Yeah, that's part of the problem here, is the players are upset they didn't get all these accolades for a mediocre season, while the coach is upset the team's not winning more. What do you make of Michigan State's response to this, and do they have an identity problem?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not surprised that this is going on, because this is kind of like, this is on brand for this team. This is what it is. It's like not, it's just a lack of self-awareness, in my opinion. Like, I just don't understand, in the midst of the season that we're having, and with a lot of guys that know what Michigan State is about and like what Michigan State basketball stands for, is that we're on social media acting like we got slighted when Michigan State as a basketball team is the eighth best team in the conference and losers of what, seven of the last nine, something, some number like that. I don't know, the lack of self-awareness, the lack of just like not being, just tuning out the whole season, the whole situation as a whole. Like, I just didn't understand. I didn't ever picture Michigan State basketball team as a team that would do something like this and be worried about stuff like this when we're a school that wants to hang banners and compete for Big Ten championships. Like, I just, it sucks, but it's also like, at the same time, I tell myself, like, this is on brand for these guys and this Michigan State team. Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone's surprised that these guys are doing this.
Yeah, so I've said throughout the year, it's not about like wanting it more. It's about the limitations to your players. I've said that repeatedly. This is about the closest I'm ever going to get to criticizing guys for not wanting it or caring about the wrong things. Because I do think it's now official. Michigan State basketball has an identity problem. And it's coming from the players. And we are 4 years removed from a team that finished the season 15-11, tied for eighth in the Big Ten. Not a good season, right? That, at the time, that was like a historically down year for Michigan State basketball. And they had a player named Aaron Henry who ended up getting third team all Big Ten, even though he was playing like one of the top three players in that conference down the stretch. He was third team all Big Ten. In the midst of their win streak, which included three wins against top 10 teams that year, Aaron Henry gave an all-time Hall of Fame quote, made him a Spartan legend: don't applaud a fish for swimming, right? People asked him, like, hey, are you upset people aren't talking enough about you? And he said, don't applaud a fish for swimming. I'm doing my job. I'm dragging this program to the NCAA tournament because that's what Michigan State does. We win as a program, and it's my job to get us there. Don't applaud a fish for swimming. These fish want to be applauded for treading water. Like, that's what's happening with these players. How have we gone from don't applaud for swimming to, oh, I'm just going to sit here and float, but I need my praise. You see me? See me? I'm still floating. Like, that's insane to me. And it's an identity problem, because this roster is filled with guys who think that they are things that they aren't. The season started with A.J. Hogard and his infamous Big Ten Media Day quote, where the media doesn't know I am who I am. No, we know exactly who you are. You don't know who you are. Your coach doesn't know who you are. The results of every season since you've been in uniform show who you are. This isn't just A.J. Hogard, right? This is also filled with guys who declare for the draft and spend their summer flirting with being professionals just to return to school and regress immensely. Multiple guys did that this summer. Wanted the praise, wanted the gear, NBA draft, wanted the Instagram love. Come back, got worse. So now, at the end of all of this, after yet another disappointing season, fourth consecutive one, by the way, we have tweets or Instagram stories from Carson Cooper, Malik Hall, Trey Holloman, and A.J. Hogard, who essentially are the core of this problem, wanting praise. Like, I don't understand it. It's so unlike anything I've ever seen from Michigan State basketball. That's the staggering part to me. As a rival fan, I get it. I'm a rival fan. I would never, ever assume Michigan State would be the program to have this problem. I know Tom Izzo's got to just be disgusted that this is happening. And the one thing I would leave with is, like, I think it's noticeable and it's important that you didn't see any of this bullshit from three guys, Jeremy Fears, Xavier Booker, and Cohen Carr. They aren't running up and down to scream that their teammates on the eighth place team in the Big Ten deserve more praise, because I think they have a pulse on this. We've heard about how much of a leader Jeremy Fears is. And Xavier Booker and Cohen Carr have been incredibly mature waiting their time behind some of these players who haven't made an impact. So that feels noticeable to me. It feels noticeable from a culture standpoint that the guys whose team it's going to be next year are not participating in celebrating the mediocrity that the guys who, by the way, inherited this program from Aaron Henry. These guys, A.J. Hogard, Mati Sissoko, and Malik Hall, took this program over from Aaron Henry. Eighth in the Big Ten, 13 losses. You're supposed to leave a place better than you found it. They're leaving it eighth place in the Big Ten with at least 13 losses. And they want their praise. They want their flowers. It's time for a new era. It's time for a new identity. And I think it's coming. I think it's coming because Jeremy Fears, Cohen Carr, and Xavier Booker will give you it. But the fact that these guys don't realize how little they've done is insane to me.
And I'm at like a 9.8 with this as frustrated level out of 10. If we come out and lose to Minnesota tomorrow after all this fuss that was made, I don't know if I can go on any longer, Gregory. I might pack it in. I might be team run from the grind, team give it up. I can't do it with this team.
Well, you've always been team run from the grind, and I support that. For the record, I will applaud you for treading water.
Thank you. Can you tread water, by the way?
It's really hard.
Can you do it?
Yeah, but it's hard. I don't like doing it.
Do you think you could tread water longer than me?
No.
Me, you, AJ Hogard, and Malik Hall are all in a pool. What order do we tread water in the longest?
AJ and Malik tread it the longest. Then you, then me.
Okay, bet.
Notepad. Okay. One big thing presented by Big B. What do you got today?
My one big thing is that I think betting unders sucks. even if it hits, and it does hit a good amount of time. I've been doing this whole shot the fam in the Discord. It kind of put me onto the first half unders on these early games where teams aren't used to playing this early. And it's been fairly good for the most part. Like, I'm in the green when doing it. But it's just something about cheering for teams to not score and, like, cheering for ugly basketball that just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I endorse that message. I try to stay away from totals in general unless I have, like, a really, really high edge on a play. But it's an identity thing, once again. I don't want to be the guy that bets the under. I don't enjoy it. I respect people who make money off it, but I like that you've landed on that because that's how I feel as well. My one big thing presented by Big B is the most embarrassing thing I've ever admitted on this program. I asked for this for Christmas. You may notice you haven't seen me in this since Christmas, but I asked for this for Christmas. And it's just been sitting over here, waiting, hoping that maybe one time before this season ends, just once, not too much, just one time, there would be a reason to put it on and smile for one of these videos. How many days a week do we do this, Cart?
Five.
Well, that's just the pod episodes. How many days a week do we do previews and recaps and all that bullshit?
Every day.
Seven days a week. How, like 12 weeks at this point, 12, 13 weeks? Haven't had one day that I could proudly wear this. Last chance is today. Michigan, Penn State. I'm not putting it on. I want to be clear. I am not putting it on. But it's the last chance. We'll see if maybe I get to put it on tonight.
I have a good feeling I'm not going to see that.
Probably not. I don't know what to do with it if I don't put it on. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Give it to your daughter.
Give it to my dog. Maybe he'll rip it up. All right. Great show. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll be back on Friday.